As we open up this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. And get my notes opened up here. It does me better to always write stuff down. Mainly because a lot of times I can squirrel. And I can chase the rabbit down the hole, and then you'll go, what? Where did he go? How's he going to tie this? Yeah, I know it. So it's a whole thing that I deal with. But I try to take it a section at a time and try to be so I can deliver y'all the best possible message that I can give to you. So today, we are going to be talking about Thomas, which is one of the disciples. And I want to ask you the question today, which Thomas are you? And I think that in your lifetimes, in your walks with Jesus, you have probably been each and every Thomas that I'll talk about today at one time or another. It's okay. You've been each and every one of them, I'd imagine, at one point or the other. And Jesus appearing to Thomas is it's a very recognized story in the Bible because everybody's heard of Doubting Thomas. Now, it's a shame that Thomas got, what's the word, Trey? Yeah, with one thing that says, I wasn't looking for that word, but I'm going to move right past it and hope nobody heard it. He got saddled with it. Saddled with that one thing. Just pay, Trey, eyes on me. 1, 2, 3. Just stay with me. Just watch me. You're okay. But we see that and we say, but Thomas went on to share the gospel of Christ with others, to do exactly what he was supposed to do. Let's open up. We're at 20, and we want to open up with 19 through 23 this morning. And this is Jesus appearing to his disciples. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We see overjoyed right there. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So, as we take a look at Thomas, we notice that he's not even in the picture right this minute. There's only 10 disciples there. Judas is not there. And Thomas is not there. Now, where's Thomas at is the main question. But the Bible doesn't tell us, so we don't know. We can all, and I thought about this, I prayed about it this week. Could he have been out getting groceries? Could he have been out doing something as simple as that? Could he have been out gathering something? Could he have been out spreading the word? But we're going to get a hint as to maybe what he was going through when we look further in the scripture. There has even been songs about this, about Thomas. Kyle knew it. It's a bluegrass is what it is. I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Y'all ever heard that? It's a real catchy little tune, but it is all on bluegrass. And he'll tell you that, and Bill and Gloria Gaither actually did a song on it too, which that's the one I wanted, but I couldn't find it. But it was on I am the man, Thomas, I am the man. Because we've all been that man at one time or another in our lives. We've all been Thomas. And we've all doubted and we've all said, God, why is this happening to me now? Or Lord, why? I thought I was right where I was supposed to be in your will and now all of a sudden I'm curveballed. I don't feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. What can I do to change? Where do I need to be? And we've all panicked a little bit in that situation. But let's look at the first thing that I want you to see today. We're going to talk about three different Thomases this morning in the scriptures, okay? And I want to ask you which Thomas resembles you the most. Well, first off, we're going to see, and I'll just go ahead, verse 24, we're going to see the discouragement of Thomas is what we're going to see. We're going to see pouting Thomas. And then I want you to see the doubt of Thomas in verse 25, that I won't believe until. I won't believe until I do this. And then I want you to see the praise of Thomas in verse 28 when he says, my Lord and my God. And he's right there, we're back where he needs to be. Think about this for a second. Let's start off. Let's look at pouting Thomas. Let's look at verse 24 right there. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which just means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. And we go to, where was Thomas? When you put yourself in the picture about it, when you picture the scene and you put yourself in it, where would you have been at this time? You're a believer in Jesus. It could have been very well that Jesus might have called you back then and said, hey, follow me. Where would you have been? Let's think about that for just a second. Because it's interesting. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, tell us about nobody, but we know that nobody got on to Thomas for not being there. He wasn't lectured when he came back, anything like that. So we see a hint that he might have had the approval. What if you think he might have just been scared and discouraged and down and he was processing it on his own? We'll do that sometimes. As humans, we will. Look at what he says right there. Was Thomas full of grief and his emotions got the best of him? I think really Thomas should have been with his other disciples is where he should have been. That would have been the strong place to be at that time. I'm going to tell you something. I love a fire during the winter. We got a big old brick fireplace. And it's big. And I've really grown to love it. I even put my TV over it. You know what I mean? And got the little mantle right there. But when I cut that wood, and that's part of the work I have Tanya do. She cuts and splits the wood. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't. Yeah. We load that thing up and we can get that fire just started and all that bed of coals under there, it's hot and it's perfect. And that thing will burn all night. You can load it up before you go to bed. It'll almost heat a good portion of the house because we like to sleep with it cold in our room and everything. So we get up that morning, that den will still be warm. But think about all those beds of coals. Think about all those Christians. Just think about it. When you take one of those coals away from that fire, what happens? It burns out. And it goes out fast. It's not like it takes a long time. The moment you remove it from the bed, it goes out. Thomas, and I think you'll agree with me today, Thomas should have been with the other disciples. This is where it all started for him. I'm afraid that's just like us, like the Christian who's not in church. Thomas wasn't obviously upset, but he didn't need to be alone. He needed to be with his other brothers and sisters in Christ is right where he needed to be. It's where he needed to be. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, listen to this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching, because we're moving closer and closer to the Lord's return. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. I believe we are getting ever so close with Jesus returning. That the sign that it's lining up, that it's going to happen. I want you to be thinking about that. Be prepared. Now, let's look at the second thing right there. Look at verse 25 and see what he says. He says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, Thomas. We've seen him. They're rejoicing. They're happy. They can't believe it. Not to mention the doors locked behind them and Jesus just appears. He's come through the wall. You talk about an entrance. He's there among them. Thomas is not, but he said to them, but now, unless I see the marks in his hands and I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. What is that? Why are you doubting so much? Is it because of the crucifixion and what he's witnessed? I mean, this is human. I don't know how I would feel right now. You know what I mean? You've taken in so much and you think, oh Lord, is this it for me? But God was still right there with him. Right there with him. And he didn't do a thing. He said, Thomas just said, I can't believe it. Unless I do this, I will not believe. Now we move into the doubting phase. Have you ever had doubt in your life? Yeah, you have. Lord, why is this happening? Thomas had not listened to the preaching. Thomas is showing up. Think about this. Thomas is showing back up to the church service where in the last week, Jesus was there in physical form. He was there with the other disciples. Thomas missed the entire thing. So Thomas walks in, probably like, why are all y'all so excited? We saw Jesus. What? While I was out crying and being by myself, you saw Jesus and I missed it? He didn't appear to me. You weren't with us, man. You should have been here with us. He came to church just like we talked about. He says, the other disciples were celebrating and rejoicing. There were shouts of praise and tears of joy, but not for Thomas. Thomas was filled fear. Thomas was filled with fear and with doubt because of what he had just missed. He's scared. He doesn't know what to believe. He knows that he has seen the Savior that he has followed, been put on a cross, and been crucified. He wasn't there when he was raised from the dead. He wasn't there at the tomb. Remember when he was running back? Thomas wasn't one of them. Then this is like the next day, the same day, really. Then that afternoon, they're going to see him again. Jesus has been raised, and Thomas has missed it. Have you ever just been that close to something, and it slipped from your fingers? And you go, man, it just wasn't meant to be. It really wasn't. Do we fear God? Yeah. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I hate to say it. There is. I wish I could tell you everything was going to be rosy, perfectly fine, and we would all get to heaven. But there's some of us that won't. There's some of us that won't. We have to accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We do. We have to. We have to come to a point. If you haven't accepted Christ today, you're rolling the dice. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We want to think we are. I want to think that nothing bad will happen to anybody in this room when they leave church today. That you'll all make it home, that you'll lay down tonight in your own bed, nice and cozy and comfortable, and 67 degrees, whatever you sleep on, and you will sit there and think to yourself in your head what you will do tomorrow. And your whole entire list, I need to do this, 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 and this. And I hope and pray that happens. But for some people, it doesn't. This could be your last day today. This could be your last day. And it's the truth. When I played football, oh man, I loved it. I did. I never wanted to be on the sidelines. I always wanted to be in the game. I always wanted to be in the game. It wasn't until I really came to appreciate the sidelines when I broke my leg and then I had no other choice but to be on the sidelines and watch. God needs us in the game today. He does. He needs us spreading his word now more than ever. He needs us doing exactly, he needs us being his disciples and what we need to be for him. He needs us to be spreading the word of God. He needs us to be witnessing to other people. He needs us to be handing out, Miss Brenda needs to be handing out our tracts more than ever right now. He needs to be telling people about God and telling them what they can do in his life. They need to be seeing the fruit in your own life. They do. That's the truth. They exactly need to do. He said, when you lay down this evening, poor Thomas didn't get to hear the preaching. And secondly, he had not looked at the proof. So look at the third Thomas this morning. Look at 26, 27, and 28. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Maybe that right there is what I, when I read that and I thought about that and I said, Thomas was with them. So he's gotten off what I considered that he might've been on a pity party. And he is back with his brothers. He's back with his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's right back, right where he needs to be. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Jesus don't like using no doors. I just found that out because that's the second time in the scripture right there where he just appears in the room and he's right there with them. And he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. He did not, if you've drifted away from Jesus today, he did not give him no lecture on theology of the Christian movement and what had happened. He didn't lecture him, guys. He didn't do any of that. He came right up to him and he already knew and he said, just put your hand here, man. Feel it. Put your hand here. He didn't give him a single lecture. He didn't do anything. Because do you know what mostly separates us from Jesus? Us. We do. Because we think that we've done something so bad that God can't accept it. And that if we're scared that if we bring it to the altar, or goodness forbid, come down at the end and pray at the altar or say, I need to rededicate my life, I need to be resaved, that there's something that happened 5 years ago that I'm not proud of and I can't get over it. That's what we need to let go of. That's what I'm saying. You need to let go of that. You need to be the praising Thomas that I'm getting excited. Okay? I ain't going to throw nothing over. And I know you don't want to be the preacher that turns over the pulpit. I know. But I'm saying that's what we're getting at right here. He doesn't lecture him. Jesus is ready to do that for you. He's not going to lecture you on something you did 10 years ago. Or something that's been holding you back from making that final commitment to the Lord. He's not going to lecture you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to welcome you with open arms. When you ask that straightforward question and you say, Jesus, what can I do? I feel different. If something happened to me today, I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I'm not sure what's going to happen to me because I'm scared. You say those words to Jesus and he will give you that straightforward answer. He will take you to the hill of Calvary. He will show you the nail pierced in his sides and his feet. He will show you everything that happened. And with the hour when where he was hung between two thieves, he'll show you that cross. And by faith, he'll lead you right there and you'll see it with your own eyes. Then you can truly know my Lord and my God. That's what you will see and that's what you will recognize. He'll take you there. He will. I hope you're at that point today where you're ready to accept him. Look at what he says. He says, here is praising Thomas. Thomas has all the proof he needs that's right out in front of him. And let me tell you something. We have all the proof we need from this book. I don't have to sit up here and tell you funny stories. I've got everything I need right here. All we have to do is read it, accept it, believe it, pray, put it right where we are supposed to be. Where does Jesus want to do with your life? It doesn't matter how old you are. He doesn't want you on the sidelines. He's ready for you to be in the game. When you think about which Thomas you are today, you think about, we've all been one of these Thomases at one time in our life, to be honest with you. You've been pouting Thomas before because you feel like something didn't work out. You've been doubting Thomas before because something probably didn't work out. And you've been praising Thomas, my Lord and my God. Look at how he finishes up those scriptures. He says, Thomas said to him, picking up in 28, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, look at this. This is for us. Because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You're blessed because you're going off of faith. One day you will see your Savior. You will see Jesus. I promise you that. It will happen. Whether he comes back on the cloud and the trumpet sound and we fall on our knees and we say, thank you, Jesus, we're being called up to it. Or one day something happens to you on this earth and you go home to see him. We don't know when those times are. Be ready at all times is my main message. Thomas gives us a wonderful. Thomas goes on to preach the gospel. Thomas is martyred. We do know that. For his beliefs, for his things, he's right where he needs to be. Today, we're going to close up with Because He Lives. And that is a precious, beautiful song to me that I enjoy. And it's an old, old hymn. But look at this. The third stanza of it says, and then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Miss Kay, let's close in prayer right now. Lord, Father, we are so thankful, Father God, for all the blessings you give us, dear Lord. And we see such a wonderful example through your word, dear God, that we all, Lord, we all struggle from time to time. But you're right there, Father God. You're not there to lecture us. You're there to welcome us back, Father God, and just put your arms around us. May everybody, if there's anybody that has a single doubt in their mind today, do not let them leave, Father God. Don't let them leave the house, dear Lord. Impress it on their parts to come and to say, it's okay, we want to believe, we want to accept Christ. Because we're not guaranteed that tomorrow. And we know that, Lord. You could call us home in any moment. Lord, be with us, Father God. Be with us as we, with our VBS, Father God, be with us as we start our weeks, dear God, that we just want to glorify you in all that we say and that we do. Forgive us when we don't say the right things at the right time, or Lord, whatever the case may be. Lord, just keep your hands on us. Father, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Miss Kay's going to start playing and Leslie's going to come up here and